Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. And with me today, I have the always entertaining John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Always entertaining. Oh, music to my ears. Good morning.
Good morning. You do find ways to entertain me, and I do appreciate that. And Brian Chaffin, you're also very entertaining.
Clickety click click.
Yeah, my little clickmeister. Yeah, for those of you playing along at home, I had to restart the show like, what, two times, three times? Because every time I'd start recording, Brian started clicking his mouse. And it turns out I can hear it. Anyhow, I thought today would be a good day to revisit a topic that's come up over and over during the years for Apple. And this is the rumors that Apple is working on creating their own virtual phone network. So it'd be called an MVNO. And people are familiar with MVNOs. Companies like Cricket, what they do is they buy time off of, or they buy access.
Bandwidth
off of other cell service providers' networks. And then they resell that under their own brand. And that's what Cricket does. So
the TracFone, Walmart's, Straight Talk.
Doesn't Virgin do that?
Is Virgin an MVNO?
Virgin's an MVNO. Yeah. So there's a lot out there. And word on the street is that Apple is doing some testing, and that this time, maybe for reals, they're actually going to do it. And Brian, you did some looking into this. What do you think?
I think that there has been fire behind the smoke for a long time, because this has been a long-running rumor. What Business Insider was reporting is that Apple is actually testing an MVNO right now, privately.
Which would be very different from what we've heard in the past.
Yes, and that also that Apple is in active talks with carriers in Europe. So we don't know specifically who Apple is talking to, and we don't know specifically who this private test would have been done through. Although, if they are testing it, it's not going to stay secret, i.e. it was reported on Business Insider.
Yeah, there you go.
Because at that point, you just got too many people. Yeah, if they actually have an MVNO, even if it's just a regional one up and working, there's going to be a lot of fingers in that particular pie.
That's true. And it's no secret that people in the cell industry really don't get that Apple likes when people keep their mouth shut.
Right.
Yeah, we've had several instances where the cell service providers have spilled Apple's beans ahead of time.
And, you know, so another part of the rumor was that the Apple SIM, which was introduced with the iPad Air 2?
Could be. That sounds right, but I'm not completely certain. Let's go with it.
I believe that that's the case. It's only in, I think, two different iPad models. It's not in any of the any of our iPhones yet. But with the Apple SIM and this MVNO, people would be able to the device would automatically switch to whatever network was strongest. That was one of the features that was promised in that card.
Mm-hmm. So, Brian, does this mean that Apple's easing the carriers out of the business of selling iPhones?
No, I doubt they're easing. No, there's no way. Yeah. Apple needs carriers. Apple can still have partner carriers while it's offering its own service.
Mm. And so you'd have an option. You could buy an iPhone from Verizon and be on their network, or you could buy an Apple MVNO phone.
Yeah, I would imagine you could still buy a Verizon phone from Apple too. I don't think that Apple would try to limit customers to its own product in this particular case, simply because the carriers are just also they're also important to Apple's iPhone business. Apple wants to be everywhere that it can with iOS devices, and if Apple can turn around and have in further the whole widget, further the ecosystem. It will, but I don't think that that means it's going to want to cut Verizon out.
So the technical basis of this would be if you have an Apple MVNO phone, it picks up the strongest signal. So it doesn't matter if there's a gap in the AT&T coverage. If you got a strong Verizon signal, you're good to go, and vice versa and all that.
Well, yes, except for the fact that we don't know exactly who Apple would actually have bandwidth from, right? The rumor was not that Apple is testing an MVNO that uses all the major carriers in the U.S. The rumor is that Apple's testing an MVNO. Mm-hmm. And the other part of the rumor is that the Apple SIM card would be able to switch between whatever is the strongest signal at any given moment. But that doesn't mean that Apple will have all carriers working with it.
How would the carriers view this? Since they're making money, and as we know, leasing that bandwidth is expensive. I'm sure the carriers would like to make money.
Sprint is a company that has a lot of excess capacity, a whole lot of excess capacity. And Sprint has leased out a lot of its, a lot of that excess capacity to other MVNOs. I don't know. Would Verizon and AT&T take part in this? And Verizon is pretty prickly. Maybe they wouldn't. AT&T is actually, for all of AT&T's faults, remember that AT&T is the company that agreed to sell the iPhone.
True. And AT&T is a company that has a long track record of selling bandwidth to MVNOs.
That was Mr. Stevenson, wasn't it? He's still with AT&T?
Randall Stevenson? Stevenson. I believe he is. So, I don't know, there's a whole lot of unknowns here, but I imagine that there is definitely fire behind this particular smoke and that Apple is testing stuff. Doesn't necessarily mean that Apple's going to launch it, but if Apple's testing it and Apple's talking to additional carriers in Europe, we could see something in the next year. We could conceivably see something this fall, but I doubt it.
I'd be surprised if something happened this fall.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, Brian. I think the earliest we would see Apple launch their own MVNO, if they do it, is next year.
And Apple could be like super smart and super cautious, and start with just iPads.
I was thinking that same thing myself. It seems like that would be a good way to get iPads into easier road to mobility, because maybe right now people are reluctant to pay that monthly charge to put their iPad. I don't know what the percentage of LTE iPads is, but I bet it's a small percentage compared to the Wi-Fi iPads. And this would really help with mobility on the iPads. Maybe it's one of those iPad initiatives to help bring some more life to the product.
Yep, could be.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a way for Apple to further that ecosystem. Apple gets to make a little bit more money. They get to control that experience a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of move that makes a lot of sense for Apple to do, and I would think that at some point Apple would do this one way or another.
When the iPhone first came out, I did not believe Apple would go down the MVNO path because coverage is so spotty and everyone hates their cell service provider regardless of who it is, and why would Apple lean into that curveball? But technology has advanced, times have changed, and if Apple has a technology that lets them jump between service providers, assuming they can get deals with multiple carriers, I think maybe we might be looking at the time of an Apple MVNO.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that has advanced significantly since the iPhone was first released along these areas. For one thing, MVNOs are commonplace now. There's the I would hazard to say that the kinks have been worked out of that business model, both technologically and business wise. So Apple's not reinventing the wheel there. Apple will be able to build off of what lots of other companies have already done. And then there's of course this Apple SIM business. Don't necessarily know that only the Apple SIM would be supported in Apple's MVNO, but that's a thing that Apple, at the very least, has introduced and it has access to. And there's more. There have been other rumors about the Apple's virtual SIM being a possibility, you know, as an industry standard now. So lots of things have come together.
Yeah. So this will be kind of cool to see what happens. And I like the idea of more options for us as smartphone buyers. Hey, speaking of smartphone buyers, if you're in the market for a smartphone, which means, of course, you're going to buy an iPhone, not only can you get your iPhone, but you can do a little something for us at Mac Observer, too, which is use our special link back to Apple's store, which would be macobserver.com/Apple Store. When you do that, anything you buy from Apple gets us a little kickback here. You're not going to pay anything extra for what you're buying, but it's a really cool way to give us some support to make sure that that we can keep the great articles coming your way and all of the great podcasts that we do on the air for you. So check it out, macobserver.com/Apple Store. And the next time you need to buy something cool from Apple, now you know exactly where to go.
Yep.
Yep. Cool.
Hey, the other thing that I wanted to look at today, this news came up yesterday, and it sounded like doom and gloom and hellfire and brimstone for Mac users. And this is the news about ThunderStrike 2. And ThunderStrike and ThunderStrike 2 are exploits that take advantage of Thunderbolt. And this isn't just a Mac thing. This is for any computer that uses Thunderbolt. And the way this exploit works, you get malicious code that's stored on a Thunderbolt accessory. And then when you plug it into your computer, it delivers its payload to the firmware on your computer. Now you're infected, and whatever that payload includes, the bad guys can now do whatever. So this first cropped up back in January, and it was a proof of concept. So just to be clear, this is not something that's been exploited in the wild. Well, just a couple days ago, word comes out that the people that figured out how to do this ThunderStrike exploit figured out a new way to do it, which is called ThunderStrike 2. And instead of needing to have the physical access to your computer to deliver the payload that then ends up residing on your Thunderbolt devices, it can be sent through the internet, meaning someone creates a malicious website that has the payload. It can then be sent back through your web browser, stored on the Thunderbolt device, where it can then infect your computer. So this, too, is a proof of concept. So this is not out in the wild, and the people that sorted all this out, they've passed the information on to Apple and to other PC makers so they can work on fixes.
You know, we need a threat level warning icon or something for these things. Like, you know, threat level 0, proof of concept hasn't been implemented in the wild. Threat level 1, you know, implemented but not widespread. Something, you know, we need a rating system for these. Don't you think?
We need DEFCON for for malware.
No, I don't think the White House is using the Bush administration's color-coded chart.
Oh, yeah, anymore. We could use that. Oh,
yeah, we could
take
recycle
it over.
Those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Orange threat level.
Yeah. So,
red.
Yeah, so this threat is a legitimate threat. It's just not something that's being exploited. And a lot of the news reports
that we know of.
Right. Yeah, but a lot of the news reports that I was seeing made it sound like this was the Black Plague for Macs, and that everyone's computer was being attacked right now. And no, that's not the case.
Well, the key is that the developers of the ThunderStrike 2 have divulged their technique to Apple and no one else.
Yeah, well, to some other PC makers too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and. There are 6 known threat vectors for Thunderbolt that apply to this. 5 of them do impact Apple. Of those 5, Apple has fully patched 1 and partially patched another. So there's still three that they haven't patched at all, and one that's kind of meh for its patch. So Apple still has a lot of work to do to secure our computers, but this is something that can be done. And we know it can be done because the way the exploit works, when it delivers its payload to a Thunderbolt accessory, it then patches the flaw so that you can't write back to it again and undo what they had just done.
Wow.
Which is really clever. But that's a great proof of concept saying, here's how you patch the flaw.
Insidious, clever, you know, tomato, tomato.
I know. It's such a fine line. And I don't know, but I'm assuming because this is delivered through a Thunderbolt accessory, that if you don't have a Thunderbolt accessory that's using the right type of ROMs, then even if the payload is delivered remotely to your computer, it still can't do anything because there's no Thunderbolt device for it to write to. Because it goes to the Thunderbolt device, and then the way I understand, when you reboot your computer with the Thunderbolt device connected, at that point, then it can deliver the payload back to your computer. So there's a bunch of things that have to come together to create that perfect storm, and if they don't all happen, then the threat doesn't get to manifest itself. Plus, it's not in the wild yet.
Threat level zero.
I wouldn't call it threat level zero, because if one group of researchers has been able to figure it out, that means other researchers may have as well. So it's a real threat. It's just not one that, as far as anyone knows, is being exploited yet. So there you go. So Brian and John, are you actually worried about this threat?
Not me.
Nope.
There you go. And this is stuff that we're dealing with, like watching all the time. So if the three of us are sitting here looking at this thinking, yeah, this isn't something we need to be worried about, then I think it's okay for you, dear listeners, to not worry, but to be aware. So don't freak out.
Be very aware. And I'm not saying that no one should be cautious.
Yeah.
Always be vigilant.
There you go. Always be vigilant. Be aware that Thunderstrike and Thunderstrike 2 are possibilities, but they're not a direct threat to you yet today.
You know, Thunderstrike and Thunderstrike 2, this sounds like there should be a character that talks like, I'm going to go over here and destroy the Earth. Or, you know, just sounds like a comic book or a cartoon.
It does kind of have that comic book character kind of feel to it. Yeah, back to the Batcave. We need to figure out how to stop Thunderstrike and Thunderstrike 2 from attacking Gotham.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I think that we probably just can't top that, so we should just stop right there.
This rabbit hole brought to you by nerds. Nerds, because they're nerds.
All right, on that happy note, hey, Brian, thank you for joining me today.
It was my pleasure.
Oh, Thunderstrike will get you. John, so glad that you're here today as well.
Nerd number two, signing off.
I bet you're really sorry you didn't get to read comic books like Brian and I did when we were kids.
Well, I'm okay. It worked out.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Listeners, use our special link, macobserver.com/Apple Store, when you need to buy your new Apple gear so that you get what you want and we can get a little kickback that helps us keep all of our operations running. And thanks for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.